Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini.
And I'm cabaret icon Robbie Rozelle.
I wasn't sure if you were going to go with that or, you know, the official job title at the record label or whatever. So this one works better. I appreciate you going with that one. Of course, we have the great Robbie Rozelle with us today. There was some big news today that we wanted to make sure we talked about. And Robbie had graciously volunteered to be a substitute co-host when we needed one. And considering our first story, Robbie, you feel to me like someone who is perfect to talk about this. We will get to that in a second. But we have so much going on in the world of theater, not only with things happening on stage. News about next season is coming fast and furious, and I will be in New York in just a few days. You know, if you're listening to this in the regular feed tomorrow, which is very exciting. If you want to hear everything that we have going on, head over to patreon.com/BroadwayRadio, BroadwayRadio.com/Patreon. But that big story to lead off the show, Robbie, that I was talking about was the fact that the Manhattan Theater Club announced three shows in its 2024-2025 season, two on Broadway, one off Broadway. Let's lead off with the big heavy hitter. And it was announced that Stephen Sondheim's Old Friends will come to the Samuel J. Friedman Theater beginning on March 25th of 2025, and Bernadette Peters and Lea Salonga will again reprise their performances from the West End concert that ran last year. It will also have a pre-Broadway run with Los Angeles Center Theater Group, which we talked about last week, how they were kind of merging the seasons with the Amundsen and the Mark Taper Forum. This show will be a part of that. It is produced by Cameron McIntosh. Matthew Bourne will provide musical staging and direction, along with co-director Julia McKenzie, and Stephen Meir will again choreograph. Now, Robbie, the last time you were across the pond, you saw this show.
I sure did.
So for people who don't know what this is, besides it's just a Sondheim review, give us the inside scoop as to what Old Friends is all about.
So it's very much a Sondheim review. It's interesting that they call it a concert here, because I wouldn't have called it a concert. It's fully staged, much the way A Prince of Broadway was staged. Mm-hmm. You know, there are set pieces and costuming, etc. It's I don't know, 9 or 10 performers doing Sondheim songs from various shows. From, I think the only thing that isn't touched, I feel like, was Assassins and maybe Pacific Overtures. But yeah, I don't know why that is. It probably had to do with the casting for the latter. And Assassins, you can't really pull anything out of and not make it not creepy. Even the love song to Charlie Manson just doesn't play outside. Yeah. And Bernadette Peters is in it, and Lea Salonga is terrific in it.
I noticed the wording there, Robbie. I noticed what you did there.
For me, Lea Salonga was incredible, and her Everything's Coming Up Roses was fantastic. I want to see that gypsy. That's how good that was. And I'll be interested to see what changes they make, if any. I personally think it should be 5 people. And the fact that there are 12, like 10 or 12 is like too long.
Some of the other folks who are in the London version, that names people might remember or recognize: Janie D, Gavin mm-hmm. Lee, Joanna Riding, Jack Yarrow. I would imagine that, I mean, maybe a couple of them will come over. Gavin Lee obviously has, a fairly big following in the States, multiple Tony Award nominations. Joanna mm-hmm. Riding is well known. But pulling people who either do or don't have specific Sondheim connections to having seen the show to fill specific tracks that are there. Again, they could change, the tracks could change. Some of the songs that could, that are included could change. But sure. Who are some people that come to your mind that could potentially fill roles in this show as you have seen it in London already?
Oh, interesting. Because there are so many, right? Carolee Carmello could go into this in 2 seconds. Literally any dame over a certain age who's age appropriate to do Follies could jump into the show, which is, if I remember, kind of Follies heavy. maybe it's not Follies Heavy, but that and Company, you know, the person I walked out of the show having never seen her before and fell in love with was a woman named Claire Burt, who sang the greatest Ladies to Lunch that I've ever seen live. It was spectacular.
Wow.
Yeah. But truly anyone, give me any, all of them. I would love any human singing Sondheim is a good thing. And, you know, for like the Jack Yarrow role, why not Nathan Salsone? You know, like a young up and comer who certainly is schooled in Sondheim. Give it to me.
Yeah, absolutely. We know Nathan has been a part of the Sweeney Todd revival and and gone on in a number of different roles. So that would be fantastic. It is very interesting to see what this will look like. To be honest with you, like I thought following Sondheim's passing, we've obviously seen a number of his shows come to Broadway. We saw Here We Are off Broadway, but I thought we would have more tribute type things like this. I've talked about it before, whether it's a review like this or, you know, concert versions of shows with big stars and all of those things. So I'm a little surprised that we are just kind of getting around to this in 2025 on Broadway, but I thought there would be a little bit more of a New York and US wide celebration. There was that that whole slate of things at the Pasadena Playhouse. So that's certainly it. But I thought we would have a little bit more, I don't know.
And that Hollywood Bowl concert.
That's true. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. You are very right. But I, you know, not a lot New York centric beside the fact that like half of his shows were on Broadway at the same time, but
right,
and that probably had that probably had something to do with it, but very excited about this. But this is not the only thing that MTC announced is coming to Broadway in its next season. We also know that Sonya Friedman Productions is going to be a part of the other show that's announced for Broadway, and that is Jonathan Spector's Eureka Day. It had previously played off Broadway in 2019, went to London in 2022, and it is now going to come to the Samuel J. Friedman Theater later this year, beginning previews on November 25th. It is a show about a private elementary school in California that is forced to reconsider its liberal vaccine policy following an outbreak of the mumps. Robbie, it feels a little, I don't want COVID plays, and this feels a little too on the nose for me, but we will see what happens with that one. The other show that they announced is an off-Broadway show, and that one is called Vladimir. It will take place off-Broadway at New York City Center beginning on September 24th, and as you can guess, it has to do with Vladimir Putin. So between that and Patriots, a lot of things rip from the headlines, whether it's vaccines or Russian things, but
or Sondheim dying. Yeah.
Or Sondheim dying. Yeah. Also, it is the law and order of theatrical season so far for MTC. They did say that they will announce more shows as time goes on. And the other announcement about that, Robbie, is the fact that the theater is going to be closed, the Samuel J. Friedman Theater, for most of the summer and into the fall, because they will be doing updates to the theater, everything from security systems to HVAC to lighting, like actual theatrical lighting, I assume, but also maybe in the theater itself, like in the house itself, as well as fire. So it'll be closed from July through October. And I had kind of just assumed they would throw another show in there in the summer. And so I guess we now know that they will not.
Love a good renovation. So fantastic.
Absolutely. All right. The other Broadway news that we got yesterday, Robbie, is also very Sondheim specific. So I guess the fact that I said we aren't getting enough Sondheim celebrations, well, it is all happening today, because yesterday we found out that the previously announced Forbidden Broadway on Broadway, Merrily We Stole a Song, will be moving up its run on Broadway. It had previously announced that it would begin performances at the Hayes Theater on July 29th with an official opening on August 15th. Those dates will now move up 2 weeks. So it'll begin performances on July 15th and an opening on August 5th, but it will keep its same closing date on November 1st. So essentially, this is getting a 2-week extension, but the extension is happening on the front end of the run rather than on the back end. As we've talked about before, this show played like a 2-3 day run back in November at the Green Fig Cabaret Theater. Robbie, did you, being the cabaret icon that you are, did you happen to see this one when it was over at the Yotel Motel Holiday Inn?
Obliquely, I saw it because I was directing a show there, and their dressing rooms are conference rooms that are on the other side of the Green Fig. So to get to them, we either had to walk through as they were doing the show, like walk through the seating area, or walk through backstage as they're doing quick changes. And Christine Petty is just patiently sitting, waiting to go on. So I saw a lot of it vaguely and laughed. I thought it was very funny. I'm excited. If somebody had told me that Forbidden Broadway would be on Broadway, I never would have believed it. But I think it's very exciting. It's very funny. And the fact that they're not just spoofing Sondheim, but The Great Gatsby and The Notebook and Water for Elephants, et cetera, that's fun. And the fact that they're adding a guest star every week, a different guest star, I want to know what that's about.
You probably want to sign up for it if you probably can.
Yeah, like, I'm available. I am offer only.
Yes, of course. For people who are unfamiliar with Forbidden Broadway, but no, it's parody songs of show tunes, whatever. But is there an album or a song from their vast, vast repertoire that you would suggest to be like, this is what Forbidden Broadway is all about, if you are thinking of checking out Merrily We Stole a Song?
Sure. On Forbidden Broadway Volume 2, there's a parody of Into the Woods called Into the Words that is very funny. Actually, that whole album is highly listenable, very, very funny. Gag Time from a different album is great. And Patty Class, I think, is the greatest sketch that they've recorded in full. That is Christine Petty as Patti LuPone in Masterclass teaching Madonna, Glenn Close, and Andrew Lloyd Webber. And it was right around the time of Sunset Boulevard, et cetera. So very funny.
There's also some very good, I don't remember which album was or even what the song was parodying, but there was also, it was probably Anything Goes, I think. The Patti LuPone one where, like, she just doesn't sing consonants.
Oh, none.
Yeah, so that's always good stuff, too. So we'll very much be looking forward to seeing that one. All right, we've got some other news that we wanted to talk about. Yesterday, Moulin Rouge announced who will play their next Harold Zidler, and it is, in fact, somebody who's played Harold Zidler before. Austin Durant had launched the national tour of the show and had also done a run of the role on Broadway, so he will take over beginning on May 14th. Also at the same time, the show will welcome in a new Satine alternate, who is Haley Kaleem Wright. She had previously played Catherine of Aragon in Six Cast 2.0 on Broadway. She was also in Paradise Square. So they are replacing the one and only Boy George, who I guess is singing. I'm not sure if what I've seen from him can be called singing, as Harold Zidler, and Oyoyo Joy as the alternate. This is a show that didn't always work for me, Robbie, but I do like the people they are bringing in to keep the show going. So I think it is always something interesting that they are doing, whether it's bringing in old folks like we've seen Derek Klenick come back and Ricky Rojas come back, or with kind of how they're cycling in new Harold Zidlers. But Derek Klenick is currently playing Christian, Courtney Reed currently playing Satine. So check it out over at the Al Hirschfeld if you haven't seen it yet. The other story in terms of show and casting news happens over at London's Old Vic. We had already known that Academy Award winner Rami Malek and Olivier winner and stage and screen icon Indira Varma will be leading a production of Oedipus. We didn't know exactly when that would be happening, but we now know that performances will begin on January 21st and will run through March 29th. Tickets go on sale this Thursday at 10 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, which I believe is 5 a.m. here. Don't quote me on that. I am not great with time zones when it comes to daylight savings time, but I think that is correct. So this is being directed by Matthew Warchus, and you know, Oedipus is Oedipus, Robbie. So like, I get it. I understand why we do this show. Sophocles is important, but the ickiness of the show aside, Rami Malek and Indira Varma is pretty exciting to see them do anything. So I guess this will work.
Yeah, absolutely. If I lived in London or if I was there during that time, I would love to see it.
Yeah. Some real quick contract news. Yesterday it was announced that Stage Directors and Choreographers Society, which is the National Union of Stage Directors and Choreographers, had reached a new four-year contract with the League of Resident Theaters, which is the organization that represents many of the biggest not-for-profit theaters around the country, including those on Broadway. And they have reached a new deal that increases the compensation rates for developmental work of 14 days or less, and increased the minimum weekly compensation for those development works of 15 days days or more by 33%. Additionally, when associate directors and choreographers are hired by the LORT A plus theaters, which is the Tony eligible theaters that fall under the League of Resident Theaters, they will now be included on the SDC contract, and that will up their weekly minimums as well as health and pension benefits. So congratulations to them. We always enjoy when we see good collective bargaining end up being positive for all of the people that are represented by that union.
Absolutely.
All right, Robbie, some recommendations here. And the first one, I remembered having seen you with a playbill at Little Shop of Horrors last week. Apparently, I was misremembering because that did not actually happen. But
it did not.
We did not. I was completely wrong. But we do now have the first images of Jinx Monsoon as Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors. She is playing opposite Corbin Blue. Pictures of him and James Carpinello as well, but Corbin Blue has already been in the show. But Jinx Monsoon in the role is a pretty big deal. This is the first time, is what they're saying, that there has ever been a drag queen in the role in a major production of this musical. Of course, we had Michaela J. Rodriguez playing the role in Pasadena as a trans woman. So that is some progress on both sides of the country when it comes to this show. But for somebody who does not watch RuPaul's Drag Race, can you even possibly adequately explain how big of a deal it is for Jinx Monsoon, who had a tremendous run in the Broadway version of Chicago, was going back into the show this June, to be taking over this role in this long-running and much-beloved production?
It's huge. It's huge for representation. It's huge to be seen and to see yourself reflected, if that is how you identify. It's also huge because they lowered keys to make it, you know, easier to sing and more accessible. And that is not something that happens often. And that is a reason that a lot of that you don't see much in the way of trans performers going into shows, because the expense of changing keys, et cetera, is considered too costly. And I say that with heavy air quotes around it. Also, to see somebody so successfully and authentically, like, living out their dreams is gorgeous. And I can't wait to see her. I think she is inspired casting, certainly more inspired than all the sexy Seymours that we've got going.
I was going to ask.
But she looks sensational in these photos. Now, I did see some of them last week. I feel like they released, like, two or three images that were, like, exclusive. But looking through the whole gallery, it's very exciting for Little Shop and for us to get to experience it. And I hope that this is the first of many returns to Skid Row for Jinx Monsoon.
There, I mean, speaking of Moulin Rouge and how they are just continuing to kind of bring some interesting people in and out, like, I've got to hand it to the producers of this production of Little Shop. I was hoping for something a little bit more reimagined when this show opened off Broadway originally with Groff and Borrell and Blanchard, but they knew what they were doing. Like, this is such a solid production that it ends up bringing in a lot of people who, like, are familiar with it. They did it in high school or something, or just know the movie. So it, like, it's attracting those people, but they've kept it going, I think, by bringing in some really interesting and diverse. And I don't mean necessarily diverse in, like, race and ethnicity or sexual orientation, but just, like, just very different artists to keep this show going. And I think that's exciting. And the producers of this production need to be commended, no matter how hot the Seymours are or aren't, Robbie.
Right. Sure. I have to say, I love Little Shop. And basically, this is a recreation of the original Howard Ashman staging.
Yeah.
And it's such an important piece of queer theater, even though it's not, it's queer-coded. It's not outwardly queer, but it's so queer-coded. To see Howard Ashman's staging is, I think, very important for all of us. So I'm thrilled that they're doing everything they can to keep it running and bringing in great names to keep those sales strong.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, the last little bit of recommendation that I have, it seems like this is a weekly thing now, because CBS Sunday Morning is just having its pick of whatever Broadway shows that it wants to focus on every week. This past week, they focused on The Wiz, the director Shelley Williams, along with many of the stars, including Wayne Brady and Nichelle Lewis, Kyle Ramar Freeman, and others were a part of it. Also, the new book writer, Amber Ruffin, talked about the show. So always great to see that. I think CBS Sunday Mornings is the best news program you can watch any week. But anytime they focus on Broadway, it is a treat.
Absolutely. I haven't watched it yet. I'm excited to.
All right, everybody, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio, and you can follow me on Instagram at BWWMatt. Robbie, where can people find you?
I'm highly findable at Diva Robbie on all platforms.
Do you have any, I know you have your show coming up that you should probably plug a little bit, but in addition to any other things that you are directing that people should put on their calendars as well?
I've got a busy time right now. I'm working with a new cabaret artist named Matthew Rosenstein, who is playing Chelsea Table and Stage on May 3rd. I am in 54 54 54 on May 4th at 54 Blue. My show May 10th, Contractually Obligated, at again 54 Blow. And then at the end of June, I'm working with Drag Race star Alexis Michelle on her new show, Heroin Worship. So it's an exciting time.
Where is that one going to be at? Is that a Joe's Pub thing?
Joe's Pub, yep.
There you go. All right, I wasn't sure if they would allow you to be at 54 Below that many times in a row. I wasn't sure if you were...
I'm contractually obligated to be there just once, so just we'll see what happens after that.
Okay, very good. We will put links for as many of those as I can find that are available to sell tickets to in the show notes if you want to check that out. But thanks again for listening. Robbie, thank you for jumping in and talking about all of this. We really appreciate it, and we'll be back to talk to you tomorrow.